The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast, William Hill's look at the Premier League fixtures each and every week, and we've come to the final weekend of the Premier League season. All these games kicking off on Sunday at 3 p.m. And I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Mr. Lee Phelps.
How delighted are you?
Very delighted. As delighted as I've been all throughout the season, Lee.
We're like an episode of Casualty in here. You're under the weather. I can barely talk.
Yeah, you've lost your voice.
Derek's sunning himself in Italy. This is unbelievable.
You've got all the look, McGovern.
Paid for by all my naps.
That's why we're sat in Leeds, yeah. To be honest, Derek. It's so true.
I should be sat in the bin.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Let's get stuck in then, and we'll start off with those televised matches on Sky, the matches that mean something this weekend. And Hull versus Manchester United is first up. Hull are 11-5, the draw 23-10, and Manchester United 5-4. The formula, Derek, is pretty straightforward here. Hull have got to win and hope that Newcastle don't win in order to remain in the Premier League. Manchester United's chances of skipping the qualification round for the Champions League all but ended when Arsenal drew with Sunderland midweek. So Hull have something to play for here and Manchester United don't. Has that been factored into the prices?
Slightly, but not enough. We saw it on Monday night, West Brom against Chelsea. I mean, you know, crazy prices for West Brom. Chelsea had nothing to play for, played like it. Why should Man United be any different? And in the backdrop to all this, of course, you've got the Steve Bruce factor. Would people at United who were there when Steve Bruce said, bend over to Louis van Flatface and say, listen, you know, do Mr. Squash knows a favour? I think they possibly will. I mean, what's in it for United? Now, what's in it for Hull? Everything. Yes, there's a gulf in class between the two sides, evident by what's happening in the league table. But we said the same about West Brom and Chelsea. Yeah, you know, the prices should be the other way around. Seriously, I think Hull are a great bet. I know they're a poor team, and if they were out of the Premier League, nobody apart from Hull fans would be too worried, but they're going to win this match.
Okay, Hull are 11-5. Mentioned this stat earlier on in the season, and it's still the case now. Steve Bruce always rolls over for Manchester United. The stat is he's played against Manchester United as a manager 20 times now, yeah. Lost 16 of them, drawn 4. They owe him one, Manchester United, don't they?
Yeah, they certainly do. I mean, I suppose the longer a run goes on, you know, the closer it is to coming to an end. But, and the other one is that they've never won in May, have they, or something daft like that in the Premier League. I can't believe you can bet on that. But, I tend to agree with Derek here in that I think when you look at Hull, they have got the capability of scoring goals and winning games. Now, I'm not saying they're fantastic. You know, they only scored 19 goals in 18 home games. So it's not like they're brilliant by any stretch of the imagination. And Manchester United have scored 21 goals in 18 away games. So, you know, I think it's possible that Hull can win this game. Whether 11-5 is a big enough price for me to go for is another matter, though. I mean, you know, they beat Liverpool at home, Hull, by 1-0. They lost 3-2 to Chelsea, so managed to score 2 goals. They have been scoring goals, scored 1 against Arsenal. I just think at some point they're going to have to open up in this game, and I think then Man United will probably punish them. I think Man United will get more chances in the end against a nervous Hull team than Hull will get. So I think you're looking at a team here who admittedly haven't got anything to play for in Man United. I think the 5-4 is a better price for the Hull win than the 11-5 is for the Man United win. Sorry, than the 11-5 is for the Hull win. So I'm going to have to go for Man U here. I get everything that Derek says, but I just think they'll end up picking them off. You know, their away form hasn't been brilliant, but look at the teams that they have beaten. You know, they've beaten, you know, the teams who they should beat. I mean, they've conceded against them as well. So I think we'll see Hull go for it. I think they'll get picked off eventually. I think Man United will win the game, but I think both teams will score. So I think if you're looking for a bit of extra value, I think Man United to win, both teams to score, would be a nice way in, which is priced at 4-1, which compared to 5-4,
16-5 it is, Lee.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, 16-5.
That's four or more in the match, isn't it?
Sorry. Yeah. Do you think there could be that many goals?
No.
16-5.
About 16-5.
Yeah, 16-5 the bet. Match result on both teams to score. 16-5 the bet match result, and both teams to score here for Manchester United, Lee.
Have you seen these other specials as well? On the outright page, there's Hull to be placed 17th at any time on Sunday afternoon. Obviously, they're 18th at the moment. And Hull to be placed 17th at any time and still be relegated are two special markets you can have a bet on. So, obviously, 34 points at the minute. They'd have to be winning, and Newcastle either drawing or losing.
Yep.
It's not for them to be 17th. So for them to be 17th and still relegated is 5-2, and for them just be 17th at any time is 7-4, which I think that's not beyond the realms of possibility at all. I don't think.
No,
I think Newcastle will probably draw the game. So you know, you can see Hull maybe taking the lead and Man United picking them off or whatever. So I mean, rather than backing Hull to win, I'd probably rather take them to be placed at 17th at any time at 7-4. To be honest,
did you catch any of Louis van Gaal's award ceremony, his chatter, Derek? You might not have seen any of it with you being away at the moment.
No, I haven't.
It was quite entertaining. Did you see any of that, Lee?
I picked up a bit of it. Yeah. I just read a little bit in the paper, but yeah, he was in fine form by all accounts.
They'd had a few drinks, I think.
he ordered everyone to give the lady saxophone player a round of applause, didn't he?
Yep.
Which is interesting.
And they all had to as well.
I would like to see, instead of playing this game, how about this? Steve Bruce, Louis van Gaal in the centre circle, dressed as sumo wrestlers, till the death.
That's a great
till
idea.
The death.
That's a great idea.
Look at these two men. They're fine figures of men, aren't they? I think that's what we need to do to decide this.
They're real men, aren't they? Yeah. They've got dad
proper
bods.
Men. Proper men.
Not a nose between them.
Hull 11-5, the draw 23-10, Manchester United. Yeah. In the market at 5-4, Newcastle versus West Ham, the other game with some significance this weekend. Newcastle 4-5, the draw 5-2, and the Hammers are 7-2. Headline offers here, Iotse Perez to score and Newcastle to win is 5-2. Stuart Downing to score and West Ham to win is 14-1. Lee, I'm not sure I'd back Newcastle at odds on against my Wednesday night side, in all honesty.
Agreed.
They've played terribly. I thought they'd be at least even money to win against West Ham. They do have to get the 3 points because the point isn't enough for them, so maybe that's been factored into the price as well. And even though we've been talking about West Ham not being at the races for the last couple of months, Sam Allardyce would relish it if he can send Newcastle into the Championship.
Yeah, he would. And a lot of people have been talking about that, haven't they? But I don't think that makes any difference, really. I mean, I think, you know, just because a manager wants to get one over on his old club, I don't think that matters when you think, why have the players not been playing for him for all this time so far? They're not going to go, oh, yeah, actually, last game of the season, our gaffer, who we don't really want to see at the club anymore by the looks of the way we've been playing, wants to beat his old club. Let's go and do it for him. That's not how it works, is it? It just doesn't work like that. So I don't see West Ham having that much to play for. I don't see them doing that much away at Newcastle. But I agree with you, DK. I don't think Newcastle are good enough to win the game. I think they'll end up drawing the game. I think 5-2 is a fair price about, you know, two teams who, you know, as I said, one who haven't got much to play for, the other one who just have been terrible. You know, even when they've got a bit of momentum behind them, I still think they've been really, really poor. West Ham's away form has been dreadful for most of the second half of the season. I mean, you know, to see them finishing down in 11th, I mean, a few weeks ago we said Everton to beat them to be higher than West Ham was a great bet. You know, West Ham were a silly price to finish in the top 10, odds on, and they were just falling like a stone, and I think that's continued. I don't see that improving, but I think they've got enough about them to be able to get a draw out of this game. It could end up, I mean, I think it's going to be a very nervy game anyway, isn't it, at St James's Park. I don't think it'll take long for the fans to get particularly nervous. Newcastle can't win a game, home or away, and West Ham's away form has been it's just been shocking for me. So, I mean, it seems like, you know, kind of sitting on the fence a little bit, but you know, I think it'll be a low-scoring draw. If you want a bit of extra value, if you need it, more than 5-2, I think the draw under 2.5 would be a good play as well. Don't see many goals in this at all. Newcastle don't score many. West Ham, as we know, don't score any. They've scored one goal away from home since mid-February, and that was at Leicester. So maybe a 0-0, maybe a 1-1, but a draw for me.
Drawing under 2.5 goals is 9-2 here with William Hill. Derek, I'm not sure I agree with Lee. I think because Sam Allardyce hasn't been bothered for so long, that's transferred down to the players. But I think he will be bothered about this game. I think vengeance will definitely be on his mind because he was unceremoniously dumped by Newcastle back in 2008. And he'll want to get a bit of revenge here.
Well, he will, without question. I mean, Lee's point is valid, though. I mean, will the players? They haven't turned around for him for a while. But I'm not sure. Sometimes it's the players take their cue from a manager, and if a manager isn't particularly bothered about a result, which has been the case with West Ham, well, you know, that trickles down to the players too. If the manager gets his players up, well, they think, well, hang on, you know, we've got to pull our socks up a bit here. So I can see Lee's point of view, but I'm edging to your side of the argument, Dave. But the only, one thing I would say about this match is Newcastle at 4-5 is criminal. It does border on criminality, because not only are they not a good side, you know, they're not good. I don't think they're good. No one can back them at 4-5. But also the fact that they could be learning, you know, halfway through the game, that hold a 3-0 down against West Ham, and then you don't have to win, do
they?
You know, why on earth would you be backing a team like who are a bad team, our odds on, especially against a team that just might be fired up? I tend to agree with Lee. I've got a sneaking feeling that nerves will get the better of Newcastle. They won't want to give anything away. West Ham, a team away, you know, if Sam Allardyce does want to relegate Newcastle, you never know. A draw might be enough to relegate them anyway, depending on what happens elsewhere. So, yeah, I would sooner be on the draw than on West Ham. Certainly, I wouldn't want to be on Newcastle.
The draw's in the market at 5-2. By the way, the relegation prices, Derek, which might interest you, Hull are 1-7 to go down. Newcastle are 4-1 for the drop.
Well, I'd be on Newcastle at those odds all day long. I mean, I wish I was on Newcastle 150-1 all those weeks ago when I mentioned them. But I think 4-1 is a big price for them to go down. I really do.
It's one of those situations where you. From your own perspective, I guess you can't back 4-1 because you just...
Well, exactly. You don't want it to go down now because you missed it. Yeah, exactly.
What's that great phrase? Don't go to the funeral if you miss the wedding.
Yeah, that one. That
like
one.
It. There's one other quick market, which we'll come on to as well around that relegation, and it's the to finish bottom market, which obviously concerns the bottom two clubs in the Premier League who are joint on 30 points, Burnley, QPR, while we're talking about the relegation market. Obviously, both got games to come that we're going to preview. Burnley at Villa and QPR at Leicester. 1-2 QPR, Burnley 6-4. I think the outsider in both those markets, Derek, is worth a look.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Yeah, well, you know, I wouldn't argue with that. The Villa factor as well, remember, they're in the FA Cup final, you know, a week or so later. So, yeah, I couldn't argue with that, I'd like to.
You can double. You can have Newcastle at 4-1 and Burnley to finish bottom at 6-4 comes out 11.5-1.
Okay. Let's take a look at the other televised game, which is the champions Chelsea taking on Sunderland. Chelsea 4-11 to win the match. The draw 7-2. Sunderland are 9-1. Same situation, Derek, as last week. Chelsea still champions, even though they lost 3-0 on Monday night in what was a comical match against West Brom. Diego Costa started.
Did you think they were going to get it taken off them because they had a bad match against
West
Brom?
Yeah, I did. I thought that's the way it should be.
That's not the way it should be.
It should all start again. Once they've been crowned, they should lose their crown and have to regain it later on. Diego Costa started in that match, Derek, and threw himself around a little bit like a loony in the first 15-20 minutes, got everyone riled up, and Cesc Fabregas got sent off for kicking a football at a group of players, as far as I could see, Derek.
Yeah, brilliant. I know.
I don't think he was. I've been out in the office this morning and everyone's saying I'm mad. I don't think it was a sending off at all.
Of course it wasn't. Who's saying that?
Unanimous, obviously. Everyone thinks he should have been sent off.
Why?
He knew what he was doing. You know, he's a professional footballer, and the clump he was aiming for was a clump of West Brom heads. So let's not try and say, oh, he was innocent. Why did he do it in the pit? He knew exactly what he was doing. Whether it's a sending up offence, I don't know. It's something to giggle at and maybe give him a booking or something, but not a sending up offence. But don't let's pretend he didn't know what he was doing. He did.
No, I agree, but
he'd have been given a new contract if he'd have hit Mike Jones. I mean, that guy just had a nightmare, didn't he?
Yeah.
Really in the
match. You can't send a player off and kick a ball at someone.
Go back to Costa, though. I mean, he's just a big bully. He's got nothing. The man has got nothing. I cannot see why he's making team of the year. I do not see what he's got. When he gets the ball, he's not a threat. He's playing for the champions, for God's sake. You know, you're going to score a few goals playing centre-forward for the champions when you've got the likes of Hazard and Fabregas setting things up for you. I've not seen a single thing from him this season that makes me think he's a player. Well, there you go. I've been saying that all season long. I suspect that you two are beginning to agree, but you don't like to
admit. Even if we were, Derek, we wouldn't mention it on this podcast.
I don't agree.
Maybe in private.
I don't agree.
No, you like him, don't you? Because you like that sort of player, though, because... Yeah. he's built in your mould, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he let a lot from me, Diego Costa. I am more akin to Costa, the actual coffee shop, I must admit.
What about this match, Derek? Is there going to be any spark for Chelsea here? Because Mourinho mentioned in his post-match press conference following that defeat against West Brom that it was hard for him to get motivated and that lethargy had carried through to the players.
Well, yeah, but they're at home, you know, and they're playing against a team who now have got nothing to play for. It would have been interesting had Sunderland not got the point they needed in midweek. It would have been very interesting, but I suspect he wouldn't have been getting 9-1 for Sunderland then either. It's at home. It's a golden rule of football betting. You know, two teams with nothing to play for, you back the team at home, especially when there's such a gulf in class between those two teams as there is here. So, yeah, it's Chelsea all day long. And I can't see Sunderland scoring. Chelsea to win 2-0.
Chelsea to win 2-0 for Derek, which is in the betting at 21-20. So odds against on Chelsea to win 2-0. And you've got to consider how much that getting that point in midweek against Arsenal took out of this Sunderland side, because boy, did they bust a gut, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And they were great, weren't they? And the job's done. They don't need to do anything here, do they? I mean, yeah. What? There's no real need for them to bust a gut again, and I can't see them doing that. And you know, Mourinho was very honest about how his team approached it. Still think they could have got something out of the game, of course, but you know, well beaten in the end. But I think the fact that they're at home, and it's the celebration of the title, and you know, it'll be a fantastic day. It'll probably be a nice sunny day, won't it? You can imagine the pictures now of all the Chelsea fans absolutely loving it. I think that will propel this team on to a win. I don't think it'll be a big win. I mean, I like Derek's better win to nil, to be honest with you. I could see. I was looking at -1. It's 4-5. Just a little bit on the short side. If that was even money, I'd take that. But 4-5, just not quite as impressed by it. I mean, you know, you look at the results that Chelsea have against Sunderland. They lost to them 2-1 last season, back in April of 2014, when Barini scored a penalty winner in the 82nd minute. You know, that Sunderland scored at Stamford Bridge the time before that. It was a 2-1 win for Chelsea. It was 1-0 the season before that to Chelsea. So they never absolutely smashed Sunderland to bits. I'm just wondering if they'll have enough about them to really go for it. I'm looking at the -2 here and wondering if Chelsea can win this 3-0. We're hearing that Hazard might not play because he's had emergency surgery on his teeth, I think.
Yeah.
Or tooth. Not all of his teeth. Maybe he had a fill-in or something, I don't know.
It's all been replaced.
All of his teeth have been replaced, which is a shame for the lad. So if he doesn't play, there's obviously a lack of kind of spark about the team in terms of creativity.
Might not have the same bite without him.
No, nice. Fabregas obviously not playing because he kicks balls at people. I'm going to trust Sunderland to have enough about them to keep Chelsea down to a one goal win here, and I don't think Chelsea will really put that much in. So the one goal winning margin bet, which is a little bit convoluted way of doing it, I don't know why we don't offer this as just a bet. Once it goes in play, you can back a team to win by one goal. But if you go to the match handicaps, it's the handicap tie, Chelsea minus a goal versus Sunderland plus a goal, 11-4 is effectively Chelsea winning by one goal.
Okay, let's move on. Aston Villa versus Burnley next. Aston Villa 11-10. The draw is 23-10 and Burnley are 5-2. Headline offers here. Christian Benteke to score and Aston Villa to win is 3-1. And Danny Ings to score and Burnley to win is 5-1. Aston Villa, Lee, have that cup final to look forward to next Saturday. Might not be at full throttle here. And I'm sure Sherwood might look to protect some of the leading lights. However, there is the possibility that those on the fringes will see this as an opportunity to force their way into the reckoning for the FA Cup final as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Looking at both sides of the coin, really.
And there are loads of bits to this game that you have to really check before the kickoff. The team news is all important. You know, are the Burnley players who are probably going to leave going to be putting themselves into the shop window? Are they really going to put in a last shift when they're already down? The lowest scorers in the Premier League, of course, you know, conceded 32 goals away from home and only scored 13, which is obviously not a great record. And we know from Villa recently they have been scoring goals. If Benteke doesn't start, that changes things, obviously. But I think Villa will outscore Burnley, whatever. And I think at 11-10, I think it's a fair price. I take your point on the FA Cup being around the corner. And I think if they hadn't just been smashed to bits, then that you could take that. You could say, yeah, they might weaken down. I think he needs a reaction.
Yeah,
if he goes into the FA Cup final after losing 6-1 to Southampton and losing to a relegated team, or even in a weak draw against a relegated team, have they got the confidence then to go to Wembley and beat Arsenal? So I think he will have them up for this. What I think they'll do is I think they'll come out pretty strong in the first half and they'll try and win the game. So I think Villa could win this in the first half. And you look at Burnley, of those goals that they've conceded, 32 goals that they've conceded, the majority have been in the first half. 21 of them have been conceded in the first half away from home. Only scored 6 in the first half away from home all season. And Villa, look at the flip side of that. Villa's goals at home, scored 13 goals in the first half of their matches. And that's from a total of 18 in total. So, first half goal, so I think it'll be a Villa, half-time, full-time is the way I'm going to look at this.
And if you're looking at that double result, Villa half-time, Villa full-time, it's 23-10. I don't know about these Burnley players putting themselves in the shop window, Derek, barring Danny Ings. Might find some of these in the bargain bucket, perhaps, but not the shop window.
True.
You're dead right there. I mean, there's never been a fixture, a more after-you-close fixture than this one, is there? I mean, it really isn't. Yeah, I disagree with you saying, well, you know, the fringe players that come in might think there's a cup final place up for grabs. If you're a player that's been rested for this game because it's the cup final next week, and then the manager says to you, oh, you know, Joe Bloggs here had a blinder, sorry, you're out. It'd be a transparent quest slap then right away. So I think he's going to play an understrength team. I can't see Benteke playing. I can't see Burnley being interested. They don't score even when they are. It's got 0-0 written all over it, this one.
That 0-0 draw is 10-1 here. Aston Villa 11-10 to win the match. The draw 23-10 and Burnley 5-2.
Sounds big, that, doesn't it? 10-1.
Yeah,
I'm surprised at that price.
Like you, I think Aston Villa needs some sort of a reaction. We'll see if they. We'll see what team they play. Man City versus Southampton is next. Man City 4-7. The draw 14-5. Southampton 5-1. Headline offers. Yaya Toure to score and Man City to win is 2-1. Sadio Mane, who scored that quickest hat-trick ever in the Premier League last weekend, for him to score and Southampton to win, it's 10-1. Derek, it looks pretty tough to me to find a bet here. Southampton have got a reasonable goal-scoring record at Man City. They've scored in each of their last 9 trips to Man City in the Premier League, but both teams to score is even short at 1-2. It found this one difficult.
Well, I would do that. I would just have it out of sheer bloody mindedness. I'd be on the both teams to score. No, you know, because I'd say, what would that be?
6-4,
yeah. Again, it's just, but where's the mileage in it? The players have had a long, hard season. They're not going to go up or down from where they are now. You know, it's an excuse to have a little rest and an exhibition game. City certainly, but if it was a draw, finishing the draw, would anyone be that surprised? I know that City has supposedly got more to play for because they're at home, but 4-7 takes that into account. I thought Southampton had given up for the season, and then they go and put 5 past Villa by half time. You know, what a rude awakening that was. I can't pick anything in this. What I would do is just say, well, I started off this one at the head of this one. Both teams to score, no, at 6-4. That looks as good a bet as any.
6-4, no, for both teams to score. I suppose Southampton, that win last weekend, it's put them within touching distance of that coveted spot in the Europa League, Lee.
Yeah, and he keeps saying that he wants it, to be fair, the manager.
Well, they could finish as high as fifth if other results go their way.
Yeah, it's a tricky game, this one, isn't it? I mean, I've been kind of looking at this all week and scratching in my head about it. I mean, I looked at the goals, and it's pretty stark when you look at Southampton's away record. Scored 17, conceded 18. I mean, it's a tremendous defensive record, the best in the Premier League, as we've said over and over again. But the goal scoring's, like, you know, among the worst. You know, you've only got West Brom, Burnley and Villa, who are on 13 goals. Sunderland, Hull, Newcastle, who've got 14. And Stoke on 16, who are worse than Southampton at scoring away from home. Then you've got City, who've scored 42 home goals and conceded 14. Really, on the bare face of it, this should be a comfortable win for Manchester City. I somehow can't quite see it. I'm stuck between agreeing with Derek and thinking it's just going to be a draw and they're both going to be happy with it and Southampton are going to defend for their lives. I think, Derek, you might have got it a week too early. I think Southampton have done now. I think that win last weekend that's enough, isn't it, really? You don't need to.
Yeah,
I mean, do they need to finish any higher, really? You know, they've got Europa League football. Do they need to progress? You know, it doesn't really matter if they finish higher than Liverpool and Tottenham. They could draw anyway and finish higher than Tottenham because they've got such a good goal difference. I think City will do them. I don't think it'll be a landslide victory or anything like that. I think we're looking at a 2-0 victory for City. I think, you know, again, Aguero didn't score in that game last week, did he? Even though they scored for themselves and he didn't get any of them. But I'm going to go for Man City minus one here. I think we might just see a routine Man City 2-0 victory. So minus one is 13-10. I'll go for that.
Arsenal versus West Brom next. Arsenal 2-5, the draw 7-2 and West Brom 7-1. Headline offers, Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win is 5-2. Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win is 14-1. Lee, this will be the 10th successive season that Arsenal have finished third or fourth in the Premier League. Arsene Wenger has developed this formula that keeps providing Champions League football for the club, but not one that's showing genuine progression. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I guess so. Because they're not, you know, they don't progress in terms of the team evolves, but it never seems to get any better. They never get that stellar player who's going to transform them. Sanchez is fantastic, but he's not the kind of guy who's going to drag the club by the scruff of the neck to compete with Chelsea. I mean, they're still going to finish potentially 12 points away from Chelsea. Which is a lot, isn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah.
And couldn't quite put the foot down on the pedal when they needed to finish second. And, you know, and that would be a progression, I think. So, yeah, I do tend to agree with you. I mean, it depends what Arsenal fans want, doesn't it? Do they want to see the team doing what they do every year, or do they want to see something more?
I'm guessing.
Well, Arsenal fans I speak to want more than what they're getting, which is, you know, Champions League football every single season. So, yeah, I think they do need to do more. I think Wenger's obviously, you know, fantastic at what he does, though. I don't think we can criticise him too much. And, you know, he knows how to get ready for a game like this, the FA Cup final. You know, last year, the run-up to the FA Cup final was fantastic. They won every game running up to it between the semi-final and the final. They went to Norwich on the final day of the season and won 2-0 away from home before the game against Hull. And I think we could probably see something similar here. He'll get them ready for this game. But West Brom. I mean, go and pick a West Brom result. I mean, I've got no idea what they're doing, West Brom.
I think they're big here.
I mean, they are a big price, but can they go to Arsenal and win?
Well,
7-1 does look big, but you're just not sure what you're going to get from West Brom from one week to the next. One week, they have like a five-goal thriller at home when they're supposed to be a defensively tight team. The next week, they go away and keep clean sheets where they shouldn't keep clean sheets. I think they're done now. I can't see another big one. I mean, 3-0 against Chelsea, and they go and beat Arsenal. They're beating Man United away in the last few weeks as well.
Beat Crystal Palace away from home?
No, not this one.
No?
No.
I can see this. I just like the way they set up against Chelsea, Derek.
It's a big price, though, 7-1.
They hit them on the break, and I think they're a big prize at sevens. What do you think?
Well, yeah. If it was any other stage of the season, yeah, but I just can't see what's in it for them. I always come back to that. What's in it for them? Last game of the season, they've just done a round of applause for beating Chelsea. Going to Arsenal? No, I can't. I think actually Arsenal at 2-5 to beat West Brom is a far better bet than Man City at 4-7 to beat Southampton.
Okay.
And you know, you could argue. I argued that Villa are going to play an understrength team before the cup final. But Lee has given a persuasive theory why they won't, because how many cup finals have they competed in recent years, and they don't seem to do that. That's not their MO under Wenger. So I'm going for a convincing Arsenal win. I just don't see what's in it for West Brom.
Arsenal minus one, then, Derek.
Yeah, I could see that. I can see an Arsenal goal early on, and West Brom giving up the ghost. If they were to lose 3-0 at Arsenal, big deal. Last game of the season. Who cares?
10-11, Arsenal minus one. Stoke versus Liverpool is next. Stoke 23-10, the draw 23-10, and Liverpool in the market at 6-5. I suppose we better start, Derek, with Raheem Sterling. Apparently, he's been getting bad advice from his agent. I thought, once I heard that, I thought Lee had been giving him some advice, given how he's done on the podcast this season.
But if I was his agent, I would tell him, Raheem, you're a young lad. You've got a lot to learn in the game, but get yourself to Man City so I can earn 15%.
Absolutely.
Well, exactly.
That's what he's been told anyway.
Well, which agent is going to tell his client to stay where he is?
Crazy,
where's the money for the agent then? And, you know, and the players keep listening to them. I'm not saying he's wrong to want to go. It's just that Liverpool things don't match his ambition. His ambition being to be paid 200k a week. So, you know, I've said I like Sterling. I think at his best he's unplayable. At his worst, he can't even keep up with Jordan Henderson in at the odor and had. But I think he's going to be a tremendous player in the future. And I think it looks as though he's definitely going to go. You know, he will go. I mentioned off air, didn't I, before this bulletin, that there was a bet of the season this weekend. And this is it, Stoke to beat Liverpool. I cannot believe the 23-10. It should be favourites. What, you know, has nobody been watching Liverpool in recent weeks?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
I think, and Stoke, one thing about, so I remember Mark Hughes saying with about 8 weeks of the season to go, yeah, you know, we're not, you know, everything's safe, hunky-dory, blah, 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 we're going to get our highest ever total, whatever. But we're going to make sure we win our next home games. And you look at the recent results, he's done exactly that. The away games, doesn't seem to matter. He's going to finish with a flourish. They are going to beat Liverpool at the weekend. And that price, I'm in Italy now trembling at the prospect.
23-10 Stoke to beat Liverpool, who are 6-5. The draw 23-10. I hope you've got all your clothes on, Derek, still.
You've made it worse.
Mr. Phelps.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with Derek. I can't really add anything to that. I mean, what would make you want to back Liverpool at 6-5 here? You know, they got the draw at Chelsea, lost at Hull 1-0, only drew 0-0 with West Brom. You know, the last away win was against Blackburn Rovers when they won 1-0, smashed to bits by Arsenal 4-1. I mean, there's nothing about Liverpool's recent form that makes me want to back them at all. I mean, the only thing I would say is that I could see them scoring against Stoke. I know Stoke beat Tottenham 3-0, but they do concede. So I think I'd maybe go one further, Derek, and go Stoke to win and both teams to score at 5-1. I could see that happening. I don't think you need to, because I think 23-10 is a fantastic price.
Yeah,
you don't need to be greedy. But I could genuinely see that. But I've got nothing more to add to what Derek said. It's I don't understand it. Every so often you get a price like that, you just don't really understand the idea, other than it's just a trading decision.
Yes.
To put Liverpool in at a short price.
I think Liverpool, throughout the last few years, Derek, I don't know if you agree, that they always seem to be underpriced. I mean, Liverpool are one of those sides which they attract the punter, don't they, each and every week, and for the last few years in particular, they've been underpriced.
Well, yeah, we've said that often, haven't we? You know, sometimes they go away to teams and they're odds on to win away from home, you know, and you can never see why, and this is that writ large, isn't it?
And if you're looking at a goal scorer bet, if John Walter starts, he's scored in his last three appearances against Liverpool at the Britannia, got 4 goals in those games. He's 19-10 to score any time. I don't know if he will start, but he's 19-10 to get a goal any time.
I'd be looking at Charlie Adam, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, obviously he had his time at Liverpool, scored in the game against Tottenham, home game against Sunderland, and the home game against Southampton. So 3-3 at home.
Yeah,
he looks like he's in great nick at the minute. 5-2 any time. Nice price.
Leicester versus QPR next. Leicester 8-13. The draw 14-5. QPR 9-2. This might have been interesting 5 weeks ago, Lee.
Yeah.
As it is, Leicester assured of safety. QPR playing Championship football next season. No real incentive here for either side. Leicester do have the chance to break the 40-point barrier in the Premier League for the first time since 2000 and 2001, but that's clutching at straws. No doubt Jamie Vardy will be buoyed by his England call-up as well, so he could play well.
Yeah, that England squad was interesting, wasn't it?
Where was Ashley Young? That was my question.
I'm not really bothered.
No? I think he's fantastic.
Fantastic's a bit strong.
Maybe.
It's almost like you're my new fan saying stuff like that. Leicester QPR. I think, again, we've said this for, I mean, we've made this argument quite a lot today, and I think it's the same here again. You know, Leicester at home will have a tremendous send-off. They've done brilliantly well. The manager, you know, through all those trials and tribulations he's had this season, has got his team out of trouble, and well done to them. But 8-13, it's tricky to back Leicester at 8-13 for me. I'm really struggling with that. I mean, QPR, what have they got to play for? I mean, we've got people in the office backing QPR to go down from the Championship next season already, around 16s. Such is the problem there. I mean, they've given the manager the full-time job. Whether that's the right decision is highly debatable. You look at their away form, obviously they scored 4 at West Brom, didn't they, when you thought, oh, well, are we seeing something here? Then 3-3 at Villa, 2-1. Lost to Liverpool in the 6-0 defeat to Man City. They concede a lot of goals. And I think if Leicester get after them early here, I think Leicester could win quite well. I think they could win by 2 clear goals here, because I think QPR will capitulate. You know, Leicester, in this run they've had, if you take away that 3-1 defeat to Chelsea, you know, beating Newcastle 3-0 and beating Southampton 2-0, well, are QPR any better than either of those two? Well, obviously not better than Southampton. Are they better than Newcastle? QPR?
Yeah, but the thing is, Lee, that was a time when Leicester had to do it, wasn't it? You know,
yeah, true.
They don't now, and they're back in the... You know, Leicester and QPR, I don't think there's a massive amount to choose between those two sides, especially if you ignore the last 6 weeks of the season. We were talking not that long ago.
But having the home crowd behind you has to give you something,
yeah,
Derek.
Well,
it does.
Well, we're on the last day of the season against a team with nothing to play for, yeah, it definitely does. All being well, I'd back a home team. But not at 8-13,
no,
not Leicester.
The problem with that is that, I mean, I was looking at the minus one, which we've looked at quite a lot of handicaps this week. But 11-8, even that seemed a little short. It instinctively seems quite short.
I'd rather bet them to win by one.
I think that bet again, that's 11-4 again, that win by one. I mean, you know, picking a goal scorer out, obviously, Ojoa, you know, got back in the goals a little bit, but he's odds on. No way you can back him at 10-11. It's a tricky match to pick.
Eight of his 10, by the way, this season have come at home.
Nice start.
Ojoa.
So, you know, it's too short for me. Probably go for Mahrez of anyone to score 11-8. He scored 2 in that win over Southampton. But yeah, I mean, I'll pick him, but I'm struggling for a bet really in this game just because of the prices.
One thing I would say is that, you know, generally, well, I don't know. Up to about 2 years ago, there was always a fluke result on the last day of the season. Remember that game when Man City got beat 8-0 by somebody? Or was it when Sven was manager? I can't remember who it was. By Ben Middlesbrough, was it?
Yeah, it was Middlesbrough,
And there's always a daft result, so this could be the match that throws up a daft result, this one. Just, you know, we've got a bit of a sniff about it, this one.
Okay, so QPR for
nil, nil, then.
At 9-2, yeah. And the nil-nil draw is 14-1 there. Lee, what's your bet in that match?
I'm going to go for Mahrez to score at any time.
Yeah, okay. Everton versus Tottenham next. Everton 7-5, the draw 21-10, Tottenham are 21-10. Headline offers... Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 3-1. Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is also 3-1. Everton, Derek, should get that top half finish. Still being a little bit of a disappointing season for them. You get the feeling that they will do much better next year if they can keep Lukaku fit and interested. They seem to have some good young players at the club and they'll do their best to keep them in the summer as well.
Yeah, I think they were. He only played about a third of the season, Lukaku, didn't he? I don't mean he was injured all the rest of the time, but he just wasn't at it. And yeah, you know what, Everton, in a funny way, you know what, I'm prepared to, unless Liverpool strengthen considerably in the summer, I know what kind of price you'd be getting Everton to finish above them next season, a long one. And at this moment, I'd be prepared to back Everton to finish above Liverpool because I think it's going to be a real torrid few years for Liverpool, whereas Everton, I think, are going to go from strength to strength.
I thought you were going to say, I'm prepared to change my allegiances to Everton.
Well, yeah, I change my allegiances every week, depending where the money is. But, yeah, Everton will win this as well, because Tottenham, as we suspected, gave up a long time ago.
Yeah, they did. Harry Kane, by the way, he's won his team more points, 22, than any other player in the Premier League this season. He has gone four without scoring, though. So, as Tottenham's form... They coincide with each other, don't they? As Harry Kane's form has dipped, Tottenham's form has dipped as well.
Yeah. Everton went 7-5, like it. You know, I pretty much agree with everything Derek's just said there. I mean, that Sunderland defeat was a worry, but I think they'll bounce back. I'm going to treat it as a blip because they had been winning a lot of home games and we talked about their fantastic defence at home. Derek often says it's hard to score goals in the Premier League and you have to be at it. Tottenham, as he said, aren't at it. Everton to keep a clean sheet here, but I don't think you need to go to win 2-0. 7-5 is a good price. Home win.
We finish off the season with Crystal Palace versus Swansea. It has to be this way, doesn't it? Crystal Palace versus Swansea. Palace are 13-10. The draw 11-5. Swansea are 11-5. And Lee, two of the season's top managers head-to-head here. And to put that into context, to put what they've achieved into context, it's worth comparing them to their predecessors. Alan Pardew has won 9 of his 17 Premier League games in charge of Crystal Palace. Neil Warnock only won 3 of the first 16 this season. And Gary Monk has 4 more points than Michael Laudrup got for Swansea, despite managing 11 games fewer. So... two managers that have exceeded expectations this season.
Yeah, done really well. Pardew did great. He's done brilliant since he's come in. Be interesting to see how he gets on next season, to be fair. And, you know, if they can strengthen. He's got this team that likes to play on the break. I think if you dig down into the results a little bit more than just saying they've been good, then you'll see that a lot of the best performances have come away from home, because obviously it suits their game. They can sit in and they can use that pace they've got on the break. I mean, you look at the form since he took over. Since they beat Dover 4-0 in the FA Cup away from home, it's a tremendous run they've been on. They've played 9 games since that Dover. I think he was in the stand for the Dover game. 9 away games since then in League and Cup. And they've won 7 and lost 2. Lost at Southampton by a goal to nil and lost at Chelsea by a goal to nil. That's tremendous. They've been to Liverpool, Sunderland, Stoke, West Ham, Leicester, Southampton in the FA Cup and Burnley. Now, those teams aren't fantastic by any stretch of the imagination, but the home form doesn't look anywhere near as good as that. In the same spell of games, they've won 2. They've beaten QPR and they've beaten Man City, which is a good win, but they've lost to Man United, to Hull, to West Brom, to Arsenal, Liverpool and drawn with Newcastle. I think they'll struggle to break to play in the way they want to against Swansea. I think Swansea will keep the ball. If Swansea play the way they played at Arsenal, Swansea will probably nick this by a goal or something, because you know the way they played at Arsenal, they literally just kept the ball in their own half. And I'm like, you know, we're not even going to let you go near it. Yeah. And if you're not going to try and break us down, we'll just keep passing it, you know, and passing it and passing it. I think it's going to be a low scorer, this one. I think this one will be a drab end to the season. I think Swansea will do what they do. Palace will struggle to break them down, and I think we're looking at a low scorer here. I don't think it'll be kind of an end-to-end thriller by any stretch of the imagination. It's been a long, hard season for both. Both have done very, very well. I think I'm right in saying Swansea have beaten their best record by 9 points. Crystal Palace need a point to have their best ever Premier League points total. We can see a point, can't we? I could definitely see a draw, and I can see a draw under 2.5. So 11-5 for the draw. Just want to play on the goals. Under 2.5 is even money, and you can obviously stick them together for the draw and under 2.5 if you're that way out, and that's 7-2.
Derek?
Nah, I couldn't have put it better myself. Well, I could, but I'm not going to.
You probably could without a sore throat.
Yeah, well, you know, they're both managers. I would be in a running for Manager of the Year award. I mean, the Palace was sensational against Liverpool last week. That was after I thought they'd given up for the season. Remember, he went 4 straight defeats after securing safety. Seemed they'd turn it on when they're on TV, teams against the big teams.
It was only Liverpool, Derek. It wasn't a big team.
No, true. I'll give you that one. No, Lee's right. It's going to be... This has another one that's got 0-0 all over it. I'll be back in the draw, and I might pack no goal scorer as well.
11-1 on the 0-0 draw. And if you fancy the draw, it's 11-5.
Before we do the naps, I've had a tweet in from someone.
Don't just make up tweets now.
No. This is a genuine tweet that's come in from Matthew Kraft, at Matthew Kraft 78. We've waited till the final week of the season for the greatest idea of all. He says, why don't we do next nap wins?
I'm involved. I'm second in the table, so I'm happy to do
let's
that.
Let's not fair, just say, let's have a vote on it.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. I wonder what I'm
we'll be
vote
democratic.
For.
We'll be democratic.
Yeah. Come on, Derek, what do you say? Well, Derek, look, Derek, you've won. You are the betting expert. You've won. I think we're all agreed on that. I've lost, but I think this is a good idea. Next nap wins. Before we do the nap, so can I just say something? We've gone through all those games.
Yep.
Listen to this. Villa home win. Man City home win. Chelsea home win. Arsenal home win, Everton home win, Leicester home win, 23.42-1. And Acker Insurance,
you
sits
like
in there.
Sixfold there.
It's not bad.
Yep.
Get your money back up to a maximum £50 stake if one drops. So I mean,
that's going to be your nap, is it?
No.
Six
timer. I'll go first if you want.
Yeah, go.
We
on,
know what
go.
Derek says, don't we? So are we, next nap wins, it's obviously on. You know, if they all win, if they all win,
imagine,
then it's the best price.
There's punters out there that are remortgaging houses.
They need this, don't they?
That have been following the nap treble all season.
So it's the best returns wins. Yeah.
The thing is, we had that tweet. It must have been back in September, and someone wanted to back no punt treble to land all season.
That was me.
I was scoffing at the time, Derek. I was like, I will get one easily. He won't even be close. And here we are. Here we are, 9 months later. Lee, go on then, your nap.
Villa half-time, Villa full-time, double result, half-time, full-time, 23-10 against Burnley.
Okay. I would have had. I take it you're going with Stoke, Derek.
Definitely.
Yeah, I would have had Stoke at 23-10 as well.
You need to go bigger than 23-10 because then you just win. If yours wins, then if we all do win.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go 22-10, also known as 11-5. I'm going to go with Swansea. to beat Crystal Palace on the final day of the season. I like Swansea to beat Palace. I think the price is big. So here we go. This will cover all losses for the season, won't it? This one, 33.84 to 1. Aston Villa half time. Aston Villa full time to beat Burnley in a double result market. Stoke to beat Liverpool at 23 to 10, and Swansea to win at Crystal Palace at 11 to 5. Mr. McGovern, get back to sunning yourself.
I'm just about to. Cheers, lads.
Thanks, Derek. Thanks for everything this season, mate.
Yeah, cheers, lads.
Brilliant. Bye. Cheers, Derek.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you. Yeah,
first
very good.
Full season of working on the Punt podcast. I've enjoyed it most weeks.
Brilliant. I like how we've got to the end and we've almost disintegrated.
Yeah, you know, our health is just our health completely.
It's just like we need a break. It's like we actually do need a break.
Backing that many losers consecutively must really hurt
it's
you.
It's all the prep we put in. by August, we'll sound fit and healthy again, won't we?
After
a good pre-season.
Thank you for, if you've managed to stay on the line this long, listener, thank you for tuning in. And myself and Lee will be doing numerous podcasts over the summer months.
FA Cup and Champions League finals still to come, still Europa to League come. Finals, so we'll be covering those, of course.
Yeah, I might step in for one or two of those. Thank you, Mr. Phelps. Thanks to Derek McGovern as well for his contribution this season. And of course, thank you to you for persisting with us as well. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast this season. And we'll be back for the Champions League and the FA Cup and, of course, the Premier League next season. Until next time, happy betting.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.